he saw my body getting all fucking jacked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, look at your beautiful cinnamon body. I was like, I know. I was like, look at my honey glaze, fool. And I would make my chichis dance like this. Yeah. Like, look. Yeah, like my low rider. You know how you put your low rider on hydros like this?
Yeah. It's like
my
Terry Crews does that. Yeah.
Look, I'll put my chichis on hydros like that. And he would be like, oh, damn. Look at your beautiful body. Let me love your butt. And I was like, I don't know.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. Of course, keep these emails coming. You'll see what we're laughing about soon enough. DrDrewAfterDark@gmail.com.
No, we won't.
And the voice messages at 818-253-1693. My dear friend, Mike Catherwood, former partner. Mike has been on this show once before?
Like two or three times.
Okay. Yeah. And Mike and I did a show called Loveline for many years, and then we did a daytime talk show on KBC. We've had lots of things we've done together. We've done HLN. We had you on there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We used to do that. And we missed you, and you moved to Austin. I thought we got to bring you in here to chat a little bit.
I love being here. Thank you.
We love having you. And you were starting to tell me about first of all, I had to explain to the boys in the booth where you live came from. They did not know.
Oh, yeah, from Boogie Nights.
Susan literally sent a hashtag You Live, and they were like, what's this You Live business? So go ahead.
Well, it took on something different. I mean, it became very positive.
It became like aloha. It became like a greeting.
And the idea of like, hey, go live life.
Embrace
humanity.
Fully. The opposite of what we've done for the last 2 years.
Embrace your humanity and live, you know? But it came from a horrible place because, you know, I think Boogie Nights is...
one of the best movies.
It's about as close to a perfect film as you can get.
Yeah,
the comedy is hysterical. The drama is it's tear-jerking. Yeah. It's a beautiful film. So I was watching it for like the 500th time, and I noticed something new every time. And there's a scene where after kind of Dirk Diggler has fallen upon hard times, he's on the downslide of his career.
And videos are coming up.
Yes.
Film is going away, videos coming up.
The glory of, and the panache of film adult films, where you go to the theater to see these films, you know, the Deep Throats and Behind the Red Green Door or whatever. They've gone by the wayside. The 80s is here, and now VHS is here, and they're just cramming them out. There's no quality control and everything. And Dirk is so deep in his addiction that he can't even perform. So he's been replaced by the new young gun, and his name's John Doe, Johnny Doe. And he's filming,
They show a trailer of some of his work
in
Boogie Night.
A terrible person in real life. He's the worst character ever on film, where he's literally receiving oral from a girl and he has a gun to her head and he's debating he's evaluating the quality of her blowjob to let her know whether or not she's going to live.
Right.
And then he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you live, bitch. You live. Yeah. And I laughed till I could. I mean, I almost couldn't control myself because I said, not only is that such a preposterous concept, but the commitment of that actor. He didn't just go like, yeah, you're going to live. That blowjob's so great. Yeah.
And so we open Loveline one day, and Mike goes, you live, yes! And I'm like, what is that? What was that? What the hell?
So then we found the clip, and we played
it. And
we have,
I made the guys watch the clip. Now, is that something we can share with our audience, or no?
It just
no,
says,
we can't.
I think it
can't.
Says bit. Okay. You suck it and bitch. I mean, it's not
well, it's
good.
It just got copyright and stuff.
Oh, YouTube, I forgot.
So, okay. But you can find, if you look up Boogie Nights, You Live, it comes right up.
Yeah.
It's the first little clip of video there.
With 11 clips of you and I talking about it.
Yeah, probably. Probably right after that. That's funny. And you have a new project on YouTube, speaking of YouTube.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know when it's going to be available to you, and I don't know how much I can or can't talk about it. But
talk a little bit about it.
One of the most prestigious fitness entities has hired me to do their show. Okay,
and so Mike and I had also, amongst the many things we've done together, we had a health and fitness podcast for a minute. Swole Patrol.
Yes.
Is this going to be called Swole Patrol also?
I wish.
Oh, no. Because it's a great name.
Yeah. I will most likely have to take on the kind of corporate moniker that it represents.
And it's not. And this corporate moniker has full cred in the fitness community. It's not like you're going to be ashamed of it.
No. The most. I mean, it's like the premium kind of label. And I'm incredibly excited about it. But the it it is filming in Venice Beach, okay?
Where you used to live.
Where I lived for close to 2 decades.
Yeah.
And I presented to them doing this podcast over a year ago. No, close to 2 years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And they were receptive.
You mentioned it to me.
They were receptive. Yeah. It kind of, you know, the COVID stuff hit harder. And then so everything kind of fell on deaf ears for a while.
Yeah.
I moved to Texas. I swear to God, I moved here in November.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I get a call like 3-4 weeks ago. They're like, hey, would you like to do this job in Venice Beach, California? And I go, yeah. Are you going to pay for my flights? And they're like, okay, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's that. Now I'm just going to be flying back and forth.
So essentially, while I'm flying out here, we'll pass each other in the airport.
Yeah.
I'm coming from LA to Austin. You're going from Austin to LA. It's a weird world we live in right now.
The parent company of this
corporate
entity.
When can you talk about it, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe now, but I can't.
By the
I don't
time
want,
this comes out, I
sure,
bet you.
Sure. I don't want to be jumping the gun for their sake. I could care less. I just don't know. One thing I am not is a corporate guy. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I mean, I literally have no experience working in a corporate setting, understanding the do's and don'ts.
Except
you know,
in a radio corporation for 20 years.
Right.
Or
but even then, I always fucked up. Yeah. I mean, I never understood what it meant to be a part of a large team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But the parent company of this conglomerate is a German company. And I met with the higher-ups at this German company yesterday for the first time. So I meet this guy, and I go, hey, nice to meet you. Well, very excited. But the guy spoke perfect English, but he had a very heavy accent, right?
Sounds Austrian.
It's very excited to have this situation. And I said, thank you, man. I'm excited as well. And he goes, feel free to exercise your ideas. You're the professional, the broadcasting. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I go, by the way, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. He goes, my name's Jacob. And I go, is that your real name? He goes, no, that's what I use in America. And I go, well, what's your real name? And he goes, Schnorkenheiden Schnazen. And I laugh like they're laughing in the other. But it's happening. It's happening in my mind in slow-mo, but it's a millisecond. I'm like, oh, fuck. Am I offending him by laughing at his face?
Culturally and from a culture, your boss. Oh, my God.
And he chuckles. Mm-hmm. So I go, oh, okay, good. We're good. And I go, why do you choose to use that? Did you just randomly pick Jacob? Mm. Or he says, no, that's the closest translation from it. Okay. And so then we're talking. And he goes, how is Texas? And I go, it's awesome. I love it. But, you know, it's wildly different. And then we started talking about COVID stuff. And I was like, man, it's weird being back in LA because it's so vastly different in
Texas.
It's like
ridiculous.
It doesn't exist. You know?
And in LA, people will scream at you in the street.
Right.
If you don't wear a mask. It's the weirdest thing.
And he goes, it's very different. It's interesting. Do you feel nervous about any of the COVID because of people very casual, their ideas of it?
In Texas. Yeah.
And I go, No, because I'm dying of AIDS. and then again, this is like 3 minutes later. And again, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I'm like, did I just? And then there's like a, and he goes to this woman he's with. He goes, Schnodaitun to Matzen Skriden. And she goes, no, dit's mitigan datzen strutzen. And he goes, aha, that's good. It's very funny. And I'm like, what? What? Bizarre world am I in right now?
And what are you basically doing in the show? What's kind of
It's very similar to my show right now, Mikey Likes You, available on YouTube and all podcast formats. It's a health and fitness podcast. But
they bring you the guests and they want you to interview them. It's Joe Rogan for health and fitness, kind of.
Yes, but when I say health and fitness, it is going to be inclusive with sets and reps and dieting. But this really goes into kind of comprehensive health. There's a lot of mental health talk. There's a lot of relationships and how it plays out. There's a lot of like self-esteem stuff. Like the two pilot episodes I did yesterday, you know, I ended up spending, I would say 75% of the time talking about being accountable to yourself with my guests and things like self-esteem and building self-worth through the prism of getting in better shape and eating right and things like much more so than I talked about. So what do you, lightweight, low, high reps or low weight, high rep, that kind of, there was not that much technical geek talk, even though I was in one with the guest talking to an extremely geeky kind of fitness celebrity. So,
and you have unlimited capacity to geek out on fitness stuff.
I absolutely do. And it's really morphed though, more so into how much I've come to take real, real deep objective appreciation of what physical activity and physical culture has meant to me that so far exceeds abs and biceps.
Right.
It has been the absolute nucleus for me to develop the ability to become someone that is developing as a human being as a whole.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds preposterous.
No, I get
but
that.
But I mean, even the meathead stuff has helped me dramatically develop intellectually.
So this sounds counterintuitive, but I've been around gyms most of my life, mm-hmm. and it's sort of extraordinary. Guys that and gals that come in there on a regular basis do a lot in their life.
Yes.
It's just a sign of the kind of person that can really be structured with their day and do a lot of stuff and
make
get
no mistake.
Stuff done and meet
make
goals
no mistake.
And things like that.
I will, and I think you'll agree with me here. There is so much similarity with people who take extreme physical activity seriously. There's so much similarity with that group of people and addicts in the sense that...
A lot of time they are addicts. there's that.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And here's another thing I'll notice I want to get into with you. But in that there is a perceived idea. The kind of monolithic stigma is meatheads are dumb bros.
Right. No.
The reality is professional high-level fighters, bodybuilders, guys like that, and gals like that, and addicts, they're not, of course, especially in Venice, did I go to meetings with literal
homeless
transients?
People, yeah.
Of course. But most of the people I'm in rooms with all the time are college professors, attorneys, doctors,
CEOs,
cops, high-ranking military.
Yeah.
There's a thing about living on the edge, the razor's edge, and that, people who go to a boxing gym and fuck around are usually goons. Guys that I know really well that compete at a high level in any type of combat sport are incredibly thoughtful people.
Yes.
You have to be because you're doing something. Same with surfers. So everyone has this idea of surfers being like, hey, man.
It's
because
they smoke a lot of weed.
Right. Well, either way. But it's like they're maybe the guy who likes to spend his free time surfing, but he's actually just a bum living in his van.
Right.
But guys who are excellent at surfing, they're almost always really, really thoughtful people because you do something that's impossibly hard. And most people that are walking on the planet go, this sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm an adult. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
These people, they stand back and they go, well, what do I need to do here to solve this?
It's interesting. It's also that energy to keep at something. Mm-hmm. So. All right, we're going to do a little Loveline-y type stuff here
for a few minutes.
All right, ready? Here's a email. I know you've stated in previous episodes that denying a male orgasm is bad for the prostate.
It's also bad for your soul.
Okay. But it's okay to straddle the line between coming and not coming for a long period of time before busting. Is it okay? That is what I'm talking about. It's irritating to the prostate. Sometimes I'm so blissful. Maybe it means between jizz episodes. Sometimes I'm so... it's for your benefit.
That's for your benefit. That's Peter North's podcast.
Sometimes I'm so blissfully horny I don't want to come. I've become a master of my domain, much like Rub Guy. I don't remember the Rub Guy. When I do finally make white, I make myself feel like the only man in my life. For context, I think he's saying he likes to store up before he goes. Oh, Rudy's here.
Hey, fool.
Hey, Rudy.
Hey, I just want to come in real quick. Cause like,
hey, man.
Hey, what?
What are you guys laughing at?
What are you fucking laughing at, dog?
What are you laughing at Rudy for? I don't know, man. There's something wrong with those guys. They must have seen something back there.
That's a pinch of racist, dog.
No, they're not laughing at you. No. Easy, man.
They
easy.
Better not be, dog.
I know. Be careful, listen, gentlemen. This dude is armed.
Hey, these putazos are fucking, you know what I'm saying? This is Montezuma and fucking Quetzalcoatl right here, fool.
I know, man.
Cheech and Chong.
I've seen hey, Quetzalcoatl in action.
My putazos are crazy, dog. Hey, so I heard you say irritating the prostate, dog?
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah.
That happened to me, fool. I thought, because I know, and I was like thanking my lucky stars and shit, because I thought I had the
pinch of cancer like you.
Oh, yeah. No, the cancer doesn't hurt. You don't feel anything.
No, because I went and I had it checked out because my culo was all fucking inflamed. Painful and I couldn't sit down.
Yeah, but that's because of Trucha, what he did to you.
Well, that's what I found out. So they went in and did pinch of x-ray. I just went to the one like where you get like juices and shit at in East L.A. And the vato had an x-ray. So I was like, check it out, fool. Because he used to put my love Chevy love truck up there.
Tell me what used to happen.
Well, listen, dog. And so I went up and they looked because they saw pinche mass in my asshole.
Oh,
so I went to the real doctor. You know what I'm saying?
An ass doctor.
Yeah, no, and they did the not MRI, but
endoscopy.
Where they really looked. And this vato told me it was residual foreskin
in your asshole.
In my asshole from. You know, from in
from
the
Trucha?
From the pen from Trucha.
So tell people what true Trucha was. Help them
And it was like you know, you ever see that video in London from the sewers where it was all the baby wipes in the sewer and it built up? That was my asshole. It was this little particles of foreskin and the pinche schmegma.
Smegma.
And it was like all in there.
So you didn't you're not gay, right?
Nah, fool.
No. But you used to have your roommates. Explain what happened.
This is what happened, fool. Okay, so I went to the pain. I'm a changed man now, but this is a long time ago. I went to the
You still working at Jamba Juice?
Yeah, fool.
Yeah. How's that going? You're manager now, right?
That's right, dog.
They almost fired you, right?
Pacoima Jamba Juice.
They almost fired you.
They did because I was dosing the
wheatgrass.
All my friends would come in and they'd be like, give me double shot of wheatgrass. And I'd be like, I hear you, fool. And then I put like a tincture of Yes Guy in the fucking, what I'm saying? And next thing you know. And then I used to make my wife the smoothies because she had the big fucking fupa.
With the Yes Guy?
No, with the Scante. Scante. Scante, fool. Scante. With the methamphetamine. And the vato said, I was like, I don't know much about arithmetic, but I'm an ace student in mathematics. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying, fool?
Yeah, I get it.
Walter White. I'm Walter Brown, dog.
You're Walter Brown, mathematics.
Right. So anyway, dog.
And so it just to make the long story short about Rudy's wife.
Here's the deal.
Rudy's wife.
I went to the pen, and I was a normal guy, but I started doing la burpees.
Yeah.
And the push-ups.
Yeah.
And my body started to look good, dog. Yeah. And my cellmate, Trucha, this vato Trucha, he was a veterano. He's probably dead now. He's old as fuck. He looked like Emperor fucking Palpatine in like 1989.
Joey Diaz kind of guy.
Yeah, he was like Hulk Hogan. He looked 30 or 70. You didn't know.
right.
So then that vato, he saw my body getting all fucking... Jack,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he's like, hey, look at your beautiful cinnamon body. I was like, I know. I was like, look at my honey glaze, fool. And I would make my chichis dance like this. Yeah. Like, look, like my lowrider. You know how you put your lowrider on hydros like this?
Yeah. It's like Terry Crews does that. Yeah,
look, I'll put my chichis on hydros like that. And he would be like, oh, damn, look at your beautiful body. Let me love your butt. And I was like, I don't know. And then finally, you know, I started to get a little lonely.
No, he attacked you at one point, right? Against the rice.
The first time he put my head in the rice, we were in the kitchen in the commissary, and he's like, fucking don't look at me. And he put my head in the rice, and I remember being like, oh, this is exfoliating. But then my asshole, you know, it got pretty red.
It got worked over, yeah.
But so then I started to love it. You know,
You were okay with it for a while.
I said, I got like a Stockholm butthole.
Yeah, you did. And so you got home, and so to make the sad girl, his wife's story short, he wanted to help her lose weight because she was so sad, and he put the meth in her horchata.
Her horchata, that's right.
And she got psychotic and cut her leg off.
But she lost 194 pounds.
So there you go. So she doesn't have a leg, but she's
much
happier.
I just have one real quick question because I know you got a big show.
Yeah, thank you.
You know a lot about, como se dice, epigenetics.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, like
a little bit about it.
And evolution.
A little bit of evolution, yeah.
How come Latinas will be? I love Latinas. You know, it's the greatest thing in the world. You know, the highness. How come their body will be bald like pinche Kojak, right? But their lower back looks like a fucking chinchilla. Like they get the hair just in their lower back like that.
I don't know why that would be preserved like that. I think it's just a coincidence. Just a remnant.
Because it's dope, though. I mean, we had like different hyenas in the hood. You know, there was this one hyena, you would get her doggy style, and you're like, oh, damn. And we called her Fourscore because her her lower back looked like fucking Abe Lincoln. You know, so we were like, oh, four score. And then there was this one eye out flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor,
because it looked like in como say back to the future.
It was like a Jacob's ladder,
And then there was
was it a full wire?
That was how, what the hair looked like on her. Yeah. And then there was SEAL Team Dicks, because this one hyena's lower back looked like Osama bin Laden, you know, and then so we were like, "Hey, that's SEAL Team," because we all passed around, you know, they did the blasting, you know.
No, I know.
You don't even know.
Does sad girl get upset with you talking about this stuff?
No, she can't judge me for things I did before I met her. I'm not gonna get all mad at her because she was fucking Ricardo Montalban.
I just want to make sure that and your kids are all good.
I think so. I mean, most of them are good.
Oh, somebody getting in trouble?
Hey, so speaking of my wife, the other night, I don't understand ladies sometimes.
I know
you've been married a long time, you know?
Thank you.
But your wife trips out on you sometimes, right?
Sure.
Okay, the other night I was like confused because I was doing the cunnilingus, you know?
Cunnilingus.
And she had shaved her panocha, mm-hmm. you know
you
what
like
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of that these days.
Well, like I do, but she does designs, you know? She gets bored and shit, you know, with the lockdown. And this one, she had the pinche landing strip.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, your panocha looks like Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, it's
a little,
yeah.
And I went down and I was doing the cunnilingus and I'm like, look, I'm Twatty Chaplin. And then she fucking, and I was like, at least I didn't say Hitler. You know,
yeah,
I thought I was
been
being.
Hitler, right. Hitler had the same mustache. Yeah, you're being kind.
Enlightened.
Yes, thought, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So one more thing before I let you go. The boys in the booth are enjoying your colorful.
I'm amazing entertainer.
You are amazing, and I've never explained to them why the word barely is so important.
What's barely?
If somebody were to interview you, let's say you'd witness something like somebody robbed the Jamba Juice.
Yeah,
and I'm a reporter, and I come in. Oh, here's Mr. Rudy.
You mean basically, dog?
Basically, I beg your pardon.
Mean like just a little bit, like
no, I mean basically. I fucked up.
Because I say COVID. Burly. Like I barely got here on time. Fool.
Yes, you barely got here on time.
That's right.
And so, but basically is the word I meant.
It's a good multisyllabic Chicano word, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? And so if you were describing a robbery at
the
Jamba
Juice. Imagine you're watching Fox 11 News.
Yeah.
You know, at like in LA at like 10 o'clock at night. And it's like,
earlier today, there was a robbery in Buena Park. I'm live on the scene with local resident Vicente Rodriguez. Can you please describe what happened here at the crime scene?
Basically, like, there was this one vato, and then I heard gunshots, and then this vato basically went up on a roof.
Yeah.
And basically fucking 5-0 came, and they were blasting, but this vato basically, like, pinche Spider-Man, he climbed down, and I thought he was doing parkour and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
So basically becomes, like, you know. It's kind of like you know for the white girl.
I guess, dog. Yeah, you know, it's like the glue.
That. Yeah, it's kind of, many languages have those sort of interstitial words.
Yeah.
Like, ma, genre, French. And then I know, or is basically sort of right?
Or you know what stupid white bitches say?
Yeah.
Is literally.
Literally.
Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have noticed that.
And even I'm a dumb shit, and I'm like, that's not what literally means, puta.
My head literally exploded.
Yeah, no, it didn't, because I seen a vato's head explode, and he was dead. That's what happened. I knew that fool. His name was Cacahuate. His name was Fernando, but they called him Lil Cacahuate, and that fool got blasted, and it wasn't even with a gun, dog.
What was it?
A fucking
crossbow.
How'd
man,
you know, dog? Like,
I
walking
just figured
dead.
The world you live
no,
in.
No, you know
man.
What? I think it was a slingshot, and then the fucking vato threw a slingshot and an avocado like that.
An avocado?
Yeah, but he had really nice skin in the casket.
Uh-huh, good. Okay, nice. Well, Rudy, it's great to touch base with you again. I always miss you, and the boys seem to enjoy you in the booth.
All right.
That's say goodbye to them.
I got a joke before I go.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Raiders.
Bye, Rudy. Did you guys enjoy a little Rudy? Rudy is
incredible, Rudy.
He's amazing. Rudy is the best. Mike, Rudy came by. And,
what?
Yeah, Rudy was here for a minute.
No way.
Yeah, I know. He's very colorful. Explain to people where Rudy came from. So there's no
East Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know, but his genesis in your mind.
I mean, I remember one time Kid Rock was on Loveline, and he was saying, jokingly, but he was saying, like, everyone in Detroit's a little black, you know, because I was asking him about, like, if everyone ever got on his case, like, for cultural appropriation, because it is such a predominantly African-American neighborhood. And he's like, no, that's the thing. It's like, it is there. You know, you look at Eminem, you look at, like, our friend Rude Jude. If you're from, it's a part of your culture, regardless of what your actual race is.
Yeah.
And it seems, if you're from Los Angeles, you could be Dr. fucking Drew.
Yeah. And I might say basically.
And you just have you have a real connection to Mexican culture.
Oh, for sure.
And so you get to develop, like, a real passion and appreciation for everyone in LA knows Rudy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
A Rudy.
You go to to get a beer in Right Field Pavilion at Dodger Stadium,
yeah,
and it's like, you just know those guys.
There's Rudy.
You know? It's like, I had a cousin named Rudy. And that.
Right. And so Mike is Mexican.
Yes.
Of Mexican descent. And so he literally had family that were Rudy-esque.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm good or bad at it at the execution, but I really always loved it. Since I was a little kid, I loved watching people of different types of people, different cultures, different ages. And I would watch, and when people had really specific, unique traits, I was into
it's fascinating.
I like to
and
I like to, like, replicate it, you know? So.
and it rings so true. It's funny.
Yeah.
When things really ring true and they're sort of pronounced and you don't notice it vividly unless somebody points it out to you, it's funny.
And, you know, it's weird how you adopt almost like a not a territorial, but like a protective feeling towards it, even if you have nothing to technically do with it. For instance, growing up where we grew up, I get really pissy about people getting insulting or critical of Chinese people.
Oh yeah.
What the fuck are you do? You don't know. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I'm not Chinese.
But so people don't know. We live in a place called the San Gabriel Valley. We grew up in a similar area, and a large swath of that are either Cambodian, Vietnamese, and Chinese,
and
especially
Korean.
Chinese
Korean too,
and Korean, especially Taiwanese Chinese in San Marino, was where you grew up. Like most of the high school.
Like you can't, unless you know what I'm unless you know, you really don't understand how many Chinese, Taiwanese people I grew up with.
Yeah.
So when people just talk out of their ass, I'm always like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember one time I was on this show and some mindless twat was getting on my case about talking about the development of COVID. And I wasn't even saying, like, fuck China. But I was saying certain things about, like, the Chinese government and, like, how we shouldn't rush to be trusting.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
And she's like, this is insulting to an entire culture. I was like, time out. Where are you right now? And I remember she was not somewhere.
Ohio, she was not
in a metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And I go, just pump your brakes, because all I grew up with and drew real connection to was Chinese Americans. And if you want to hear a scathing critique of the Chinese government,
talk to
Chinese people in America.
It's like talking to Cubans in America.
Right.
Let's hear some voice messages.
Hey, Dr. Drew, this is Barry from Milwaukee. Mm. And I had a question about the sign that they have outside of pools that says, do not go in if you've had diarrhea within, like, the past, it's like 3 days or week.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've ignored that bullshit my entire
life. Thank you, Barry. Thank you.
And I've gone into some public pools with the most serious case of mud butt that anybody's ever had in the history of the human race.
Can I get this guy's number?
And I was wondering, like, is there any actual, like, danger to going in there with just the Hershey squirts?
No, dude.
Piss on me, beat me. You'll bet I'm coming up in May.
Okay, Barry RPC. It's not for you. It's to protect other people, because the bacteria and the viruses.
He can't possibly think that the danger is in his ass.
That's what he's asking. Like, is it okay for me?
No,
because
it's spreading
virus and bacteria out of your ass into the water, and those sorts of infections are waterborne. They live quite well in the water, and then you swallow some water, and then you get that bullshit. So please, Barry, I don't think you want to infect other people. You don't mean to. Give me another one.
They should just, when I see those signs, like, if you've had diarrhea within the last 3 days, you're not allowed. They should just say, no keto.
I do not get diarrhea from keto.
Yeah, after months.
No, I really never got it. You
Drew,
know, you got me into this
Drew?
Shit. Did I?
I've had you run to the bathroom in many situations where you're like, oh. And how about the time you shit your pants at the airport?
Yeah, that was vegan.
Can you tell us more about that?
thanks, Inadab.
That's the story. Drew shit his pants at the airport.
No, it's worse. I was on an airplane. I was on an airplane. And I thought, I got a fart. And I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. I'm in a plane. But all right, no big deal. It was just a little tiny, big deal. And then I thought, did I spill something? Like, what's going on? Everything's wet on my pants. I thought, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I get to go to the bathroom filled with diarrhea.
Just covered. Huh?
Just diarrhea full
Good
diarrhea.
Good
time. Nothing to be done. You know, you can't. I cleaned up as best I could. Waddled out of the plane because we were sort of on approach at that point. And ran to the airport, threw my underwear in the dumpster, and cleansed myself from the toilet water.
Good.
Yeah. And it's happened to me twice from vegan food. I will never fucking eat vegan again.
Yeah, don't do that. I've told you about when Corolla essentially made me shit my pants when he was hosting Loveline, and I was there editing tape.
This
is the disaster of all disasters.
Yes, yes.
So when Corolla was hosting Loveline, I would come in to edit tape the night before for Kevin and Bean's next station.
So Mike worked at K-Rock when Adam and I were there as our home station. And he was in the morning show, and he would work at night producing stuff. So,
and Adam was always super nice to me. He's not only been super nice, he's always like given me tips and been supportive.
That's
and
nice.
Stuff, you know?
But he and I were behaving fairly adolescently at that point.
Well, always. I mean, but you guys had guests that night,
yes.
And they were female guests, and they were attractive female guests.
It was
two girls from Lost.
Lost,
the TV
yes.
show Lost. Is about 2005.
Yeah.
And it was Evangeline Lilly and Maggie Grace. Very attractive young women. Mm-hmm. And Corolla's like clearly having a gaseous incident, okay? And so what would Corolla do? He'd realize during the commercial breaks that he had to fart and he didn't want to fart in front of those ladies. So he would walk into the studio with me, put his butt in, and rip a big one. Okay? And he did it like two or three times. And I thought it was hysterical. I was laughing my ass off. And so I feel something brewing. Mm. And I'm like, all right, next commercial break, I'm gonna fucking wreck Adam.
Yeah.
So he comes in the door, and I remember he was on his phone this time. He was on his actual cell phone. And he's like, I'm in the same area. And I go, and I push, and I just blast diarrhea throughout. I'm like, and Carl's like, yeah, it sounded wet. Yeah.
He
walked away, and I'm like, fuck.
Sounded wet.
Yeah, I was in a bad way.
And then the ladies were right down the hall where the bathroom was.
So I went to the bathroom that we're not supposed to use, and I was like, fuck this. I don't care. This is an emergency. And I threw away my underwear. I baby wiped everything. And
It makes me want to do a sketch of the Paris Poo story.
Can't tell this again.
Okay,
I could, but...
Mike shit his pants and ended up on face down in a hotel lobby with pants, underwear, in his underwear, full of poo.
No memory of how.
He was so jacked out on drugs. And had to run out of the hotel in the midday.
Yeah.
With your pants full of poo.
Wait,
in your underwear, tidy whities.
No passport, no money, no anything.
Tidy whities.
In a country that I don't speak the language, and I have no idea where I am.
But you got a load of shit in your pants.
By the way, I didn't land in that country. I landed in England.
Oh, you don't remember how you got
and
to
I
France.
I got to fucking Paris with shit pants. And I have no idea.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that part of the story.
Well, no, I remember getting on the channel. No. With the British guys, because they said there's not a good coke scene
in London. You gotta go to
and they're like, yeah, go get past my oops. I was like, to the tunnel we go.
Oh, Jesus. Motivation. This is the addict stuff. Oh, addicts are motivated.
Yeah,
man.
It became Hemingway.
Yeah. Any event, he ran out of the hotel into the streets in his tidy whities with his pants full of shit.
Yeah.
Running down the street.
They were boxers. It was the 90s.
Oh, it was boxers. Okay.
I had very baggy pants.
And didn't the shit kind of roll out onto the street there?
No, it was dried by that point. And it wasn't like full.
Dried by that
it
point.
Wasn't like full. It was just like clearly I went, bop. Like I did like a.
You'd sprayed like a cat.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Don't do drugs, ladies and gentlemen. It ends up bad. Voice message.
Hi, Hitler.
Hey.
I'm a 35-year-old female, and I've literally never made a sound when I fart. Whether
Literally.
My butthole is fully waxed or hairy as fuck, my farts are silent. And I'm not 50 yet, obviously, so I don't do anal. Is my butthole just naturally really loose? Why can't I toot my own horn? Don't call me daddy. You bet I'm coming to me.
Jewish girl? This is a Harvard girl?
Why do you think? What do you think? What's your bet?
No, that girl is a party.
She's a party, but she said she doesn't do anal though.
Yeah. By the way, that's an old stereotype. Jewish girls don't do anal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know my ex-girlfriend. I beg to differ.
Well, I do, and you had a very interesting observation about women that like anal that maybe you should share with the audience.
The overwhelming majority of girls don't like that.
Right.
Okay? They don't.
Or they'll take it or leave
they'll
it.
They'll try it because they know it'll please a guy, but they don't.
Certain percentage.
But the girls who do.
Who really do. They really do.
Love it.
They love it.
There's something genetic or biological, something about the way your body's shaped.
Yep.
The girls who love anal.
Love it.
Don't, like, I'll take it. They love it. And then almost all other women are like, well, this is not pleasing. I'd much rather have it in my.
But you notice there's a tell to know whether it's one of those girls or not.
Is it like some type of like vocal affect? I've noticed, like a lisp or so. Yeah, a lisp means butt play. And that's why I always said to our friend Sam Shocker, you know,
what did you say to her?
She'd be like, Michael, this is spectacular. I was like, I'd look over her husband. I'd be like, woo, time to duke it up, buddy. Go get that KY.
And you would usually call them like McAnal or something. You'd come up with a name.
No, I wouldn't, Drew, because that would be bad. I would.
Oh,
what was? What
I,
was
I can't remember exactly.
Shitty McStuffers. Right.
But he Mike would pick up on it like that and just go, oh, there's one of those.
Well, and, okay. You know how you can
look. You develop an instinct with
it. It like takes one to know one.
Hmm.
There's certain proclivities people have.
Do you like anal? Is what you're saying? You like about butt play a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I don't.
Not all men like that either. Men,
I will say this. I don't dislike anything when it comes to a sexual partner. What she wants.
Yeah, yeah.
Is I'm into.
You're up for it. Like, you're up for anything.
Yeah, I really am. And so I'm.
And so you recognize the girls that are up for anything.
That and then also. It's the same with, I could talk to someone for 5 to 10 minutes, and even if they don't reference it, it used to happen on Loveline all the time, I'd go be like, well, how long you been
trauma.
On drugs?
Yeah, drugs are
how
trauma,
long you
yeah.
been on drugs? Yeah, and they yeah. go, what do you mean? I'd be like, yeah. Dude, let's, you know.
Yeah, that's a perfect example, because addicts see it in other people. They even see the potential in other people, whether even they're using or not.
And sometimes we've had celebrities who were open about their addiction, and they'll claim...
Sobriety, yeah.
And you and I are both looking at each other, and then sometimes they'll claim sobriety, and we're like, "I'm really proud of you." Yeah. I mean, I'll never, the most amazing transformation in a person I've ever seen.
Steve-O.
Well, Steve-O's great, but Steve-O's still fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Steve-O's still Steve-O.
Yeah, yeah.
At the tail end of his addiction, he was so whacked out, he was being crazy.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know what I'm saying?
He's Steve. Yeah.
Travis Barker.
Oh, that's
Travis
true.
Barker was barely alive.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like the type of drug dealer that go see
John Frusciante and Bob Forrest. Bob Forrest,
that's true.
Was
but
dead.
I never interviewed them when they were using.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Travis used to come in with Blink and Boxcar, whoever it was, 100 million. He was always nice, but he was always like, "Yeah, man."
Yeah, yeah.
He came in after some sobriety. And he was like, "Hey, nice to meet you."
Spry.
Oh,
you would call
it,
him Spry now,
yeah.
as opposed to
and
brain
you're like,
dead.
"Wow, that's great." He was one of the craziest transformations I've ever seen, but. Okay. You get those. And I remember one time, and I'm not trying to sell her out. It was just, it was a real landmark moment for me when Courtney Love was on one time.
Mm.
We always had great interviews with her. But she had said, you know, I've been clean for like 3 or 4 months or something.
And both of us were like,
I was like, Courtney.
Yeah.
I was like, stop. Okay. Yeah. What do you mean by that? And then we talked. And she had said, then she admitted, she's like, well, I haven't used heroin. I haven't.
Right.
And I believe you. And she was using different barbiturates.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, see, now we can talk. And, and it was, I think it was really
people
important.
They don't want to admit it to themselves, and they're fearful of being judged. And you and I would never judge somebody. You know,
I can't. I was actually having this conversation with a guy on the plane last night back from L.A. I was saying, like, that's I'll always be grateful to drugs and alcohol for that reason, is that I'm not saying this to seem like a good person. I mean, I can't judge anyone. I lack judgment. When someone tells me I used to beat my wife. I don't like that. I certainly don't, you know, encourage. But I can sit and objectively see if and say, look, maybe you've changed. Because I used to lie, cheat, steal. I was a horrible person. I used to walk around on shag carpet in places I had no idea where I was, disgusting rat infested, on my hands and knees looking for little flecks of crack rock. And like, I'm going to judge someone for not paying their taxes.
I think that is an admirable quality. The one thing I would say though is you still beat your fucking self up over it a little bit.
I do. Well, and you should. You know what? It's not, I don't.
You're sick.
I don't beat myself
up. Not the way
up,
you used to. Not the way you used
but
to.
But what I do, every once in a while, I get this thing where I can say, I may have come a long way and my daughter loves me, my wife and I have a great relationship and I try my best to be a good person, but I was still that guy. And I get really ashamed. I get really
That's
ashamed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what
but,
I'm talking about. But it's better.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. Incel. Do you know what that's all about?
Isn't that involuntary celibate?
Yes. Yeah. Hi to everybody. How do I not become an incel? I have a high sex drive. I'm dating someone who rejects me regularly. It's 2 months without sex. I feel myself becoming angry and resentful of women. How do I stop this pattern?
Stop. Yeah. That guy. Listen. Yeah. And I'm not trying to fuck with you. I'm being serious. If this girl that you're with that is denying you is someone who's made a commitment to, for religious reasons or some, or moral reasons, to not have sex before marriage, you're an asshole. But if she's just denying you, get the fuck out of there.
Either way, get the fuck out of there.
Well, no,
because
okay.
you are literally forcing yourself on a person who is telling you they don't want to.
Well, my point
That's
being is
not
that,
okay.
My point being is if you're a 25-year-old chick and you're in a relationship with a guy and you're telling him, I'm going to save myself for marriage, bravo. If you're a 25-year-old chick and you're open to sex and you're just not giving a guy sex, you're a fucking torturous, horrible person.
Or you're not into this guy. Yeah, either way, you should get out of there.
No. That fine. Or you're not into that guy. Then don't be in a relationship
yes, get
with
the fuck
that
out of
guy.
There. Yes,
you
get
have
the fuck
a
out
fucking
there.
Animal
yeah.
wanting to put his dick in you.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be crude. Girls
really, you're not?
Girls need to understand. A young man
yeah.
like is so pumped to have sex. Like it's so...
The God
dominant.
The fact that God did this to people whose frontal lobes aren't fully formed is really unreal to me.
And if that's not on the table for you, sex with this guy,
make it clear.
Don't ever lead him on in any way. Because if you do, you're creating more of these guys who are going to go and get on these incel Reddit fucking subreddits and hate women.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
No, it's all bad. It's all bad. And really, he has the keys to the solution. He does. She needs to be educated. But he has the solution, which is, I don't care how much you're into this girl. She's not that into you. Get out of there. You can't force somebody to be into you. You really, the guys have to be. Have
any,
to be
any relationship where I said, and the caveat is, if one of the people involved is making a commitment for moral reasons to not have sex, that's a different story. And I genuinely respect that. That's good for you. That's your thing. But if you're a sexual person and active sexually, and there's no sex in the relationship, get the fuck out.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay? It is like, really, it is that important.
But again, if there are religious, moral, whatever reasons, great, but find somebody who shares those with
you. Oh, of course. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying you shouldn't have these points
That's
of view.
Oil and water.
Yeah. We're saying you shouldn't mix with somebody who's not there with you. Listening to the infamous storm drain incident. So Susan dropped her purse.
No, I heard about it.
Drain.
Yeah, at dinner.
Right. You came to dinner with us after that. And, Annie couldn't stand it because he has this fear of the it clown coming out of a storm drain or a toilet. You know, Annie poops once a month. Do you know the story? Once a month.
What does colon look like?
It's full of shit. And when he shits, he has to sit like a gargoyle with his feet on the rim because he's so fearful of being near the drain, and he has to drop from it.
If I walked into a public bathroom and he was doing that, I'd shoot him with a gun.
You thought it was some kind of monster?
I'd be like, it's evil. Evil is here.
Well, he's pretty much a ninja when it comes to his colon. He can control it.
It's probably healthier to shit like that.
Well, it's interesting, right? Tom's very worried about him. When my niece was about 2 to 3 years old, she would refuse to poop. My friends thought it was fear of her poop sitting in her diaper, so they allowed her to run commando, but she'd still hold it in. So we asked her why, and she said she wasn't afraid of the poop, but she didn't have time to go. She grew out of it, though, and stopped holding her poop a few months later. One day, I guess she had time. Kids develop fear of the toilet and fear of all kinds of losing parts of themselves. They have all kinds of weird fantasies, children, not you, Annie, and that they will go through a phase where they'll hold their poop in, and some do it more chronically. If any, it was a very specific thing. He got traumatized by some movie and cannot be around drains. And so when I reached down there to get Susan's purse, Annie almost lost his mind.
I don't think it's that crazy what movies or something you intake can dramatically affect you. You know.
I know. Hear voicemail.
Hey, this is Steve. Hey, Hitler. So
hey,
just
man.
To let you guys know, I eat a lot of pussy. Lately, when I look at my beard in the mirror, it's more and more red every time I look at it. Like the hairs are turning red. And I know they're not growing in red because my beard's kind of long, so they're slowly turning
red. Is Ben Shapiro?
I'm just wondering, is that because of all the pussy? I don't know. That's what TikTok told me. Help me out. Ta-ta, retard.
That's what TikTok told me.
So answer him. Is his hair tinting because of the pussy? Maybe it's the pH of somebody.
I was going to say, like, yeah. Is there something acidic in the reaction? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's sort of probably getting blonde, really, is probably what's happening more than
I
real.
Honestly, and I would investigate that. You know, also, but I would also, if you have that heavy of a beard, I would talk to the young lady because that could not be maybe
not be fun.
Enjoyable
That's what
for
I'm
her,
thinking. Yeah. Maybe,
you know,
maybe get a closer clip beard, dude. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand the big beard these days. That's a big thing.
I do. I can't. I think it's you.
It's a masculine thing.
You idealize stuff that you can't really do.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot grow a beard.
But people that theorize facial hair on men, they've noticed a correlation between a preoccupation with the military and mustaches. Think of the Napoleonic era and stuff. And when those things become virtuous, and when antisocial becomes virtuous, the beards come. Sort of acting out against the man.
I also think, like, look, it's fucking macho. It's kind of cool. It's like, why do you wear a leather jacket if you don't ride a bike, motorcycle?
Right.
It's like, well, it's cool. I like leather jackets. I mean, maybe it's just that simple.
Here's a theory on farts. I want to run it by you all. Silent farts usually smell worse, hence silent but deadly. But I've noticed louder farts don't usually smell bad. Here's my theory. When they're silent, all the methane molecules and the rest of the stinky molecules escape to be able to be smelled. That's true. When they're loud, your butt cheeks flap and they're breaking apart. The molecules don't break apart. Methane is just carbon
okay.
and three hydrogen.
And it's
oxygen.
The same thing with like
you need a nuclear accelerator to break it apart.
It's like people's
your farts may be bad, but they're not
people's
that
bad. Idea about like the COVID stuff when they're like shielding their mouth. I was like, do you understand? We're talking beyond microscopic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
a fart molecule yeah. is gaseous. You yeah. can't even see it. It's a...
So she says, I'm pretty sure I'm 100% correct, but just wanted your thoughts. You're not correct. But it is an interesting topic. Brown is discussed a lot here at your mom's house. And why are the silent a little more smelly? I think
I'm gonna guess.
Go ahead.
What? Let's just get this one out, okay? From a common sense standpoint, what dictates how bad a fart is? The smell is what you ate, right? Or
yes.
what develops
the
gas.
What the bacteria
okay.
is. Yeah.
So,
but then concentration is a factor.
Okay, so wait. So maybe there's different density to the different
yes.
mixture of gas
yes.
between a silent one and a...
Well,
like
think about it. A loud one has more air
right.
being
it's
exposed.
It's more air. It's
so
more
there's less density,
density.
Less
density.
Yeah, less compact.
So
less,
it's like the mixture... It's like how come the air is so thick when it's foggy versus...
Correct.
You?
So I think it's really... That particularly if you're letting a large amount of silent going, you're still letting the dense, concentrated methane go. Well, something that's moving air fast and making yeah. noise is largely air. And the air mostly comes from swallowing, they think.
Yeah.
That's
why
methane
comes people like think like burping is not like farting. Burping is like
very different.
The rhythm of how you are breathing when you're drinking stuff.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you drink something really bubbly, you end up gulping because it's so bubbly.
Yes.
Like Topo Chico makes me burp like so much I can't.
Topo Chico?
Topo Chico.
Topo Chico.
The greatest beverage on earth.
What is it?
It's just sparkling water, you know,
is it,
mineral water.
Oh, that's what somebody was drinking last
that
night.
That was me. I was drinking that.
It's the greatest beverage.
It's ranch water.
There's no other beverage better. If you think differently, you're wrong.
Is it outside of Texas?
Yeah, it's in LA. I mean, it's from
Topo Chico.
It's from Mexico. It's from a mountain in Mexico.
It's just a mineral water sort of.
Yeah, but it's
mineral
just
water.
Really good pure dense
oh, I'm in.
Bubbly
I'm
mineral
in.
Water.
And Annie had that with tequila.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they also make like a hard seltzer now, that company. But
interesting.
Yeah, they make their own proprietary ranch water.
Voice it's message, dope. Gentlemen.
Hey, Dr. Drew and Dr. Jew, I have a question for you.
Chillum.
Why is it every time I take a dump, I got to blow my nose? Like, I could breathe all day
yeah.
just fine.
Yeah.
And then I sit down and take a dump, nose gets clogged.
Got it.
I don't get it.
Okay.
You bet I'm coming up in May. Touch my camera through the fence.
Do you know they're coming up in May part? Do you know what that is? Do we have Ed Asner
it's
handy? Not,
it's an incredibly refined, elaborate.
Yeah, it's a elaborate world we live in here. Can we possibly show
Mike? I feel bad about myself because every person who's called, I was like, can I get that guy's number? I want to hang out with him.
They're all cool guys.
Especially
here.
That chick.
It's all the cool gals are the best.
That girl is a party.
We've also noticed that speaking of your acknowledgement of the lisping and girls into stuff, we've noticed here that in your mom's house, when girls pronounce the word women, when they pronounce the word butthole, they drop the T.
Butthole?
Bowl. Universally. 100%.
Not women. Okay. A lot of chicks. Okay.
Your mom's house women.
Call
women at your mom's
call
house.
Call Michelle Obama right now. She will say butthole. Okay. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said butthole.
Probably.
Okay. It's you know what I'm saying. Because it's like saying Mexicans say ano instead of anal. I was like, maybe. But, you know, right. Not Carlos Slim.
Right.
But, you know, like Rudy's buddies.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So I did
the
define
first
it by
Carlos Slim reference. I know. Of, like,
At your mom's house. At your mom's house. What is the senator from California? Padilla?
Padilla. Yeah.
He would say it correctly. 22-year-old female, Morena IUD. Last 5 years. I'm scheduled to have it taken out in November. I had an overall great experience with it. No period in 4 years from the hormones. It's a progesterone impregnated IUD.
Those things are bad, man. My friend who's a Marine, he lost his leg to one of those.
What?
It was in the desert in Afghanistan.
It sort of sprung out of a uterus and took.
Ba-boom.
Okay.
Is that right? IED? Is that what it is?
My main worry is that when me and my fiance try to have a baby, my lady parts are damaged, scarred, or make it hard to conceive. Well, they don't have any bleeding. It still makes me worry. I know you can have an IUD shortened, but my gyno does not think that's possible to remain effective. When my fiance's big schlong bangs against my walls, I get crampy. So she's worried that it's not uncommon for guys to feel the wire at the end of the IUD that's in there to be able to pull it out.
That happens.
It's certainly not good for your uterus to have that kind of trauma to it, and it's already irritated from the IUD. That's kind of how the IUD works.
I spelunked a forgotten tampon one time.
With your tiny penis? You really got through it?
Listen, I know you're augering out Susan all the way up to her fucking C4 lumbar, but yes, I did. Okay?
Good for you.
I know I'm not as gifted as you in the pants, fucking medical Tommy Lee
you're
over
fine.
Here.
You're fine. You're fine. So the boys love it anyway, so good for bringing it. Yes, it's much more common than people realize.
Yeah.
Stuff left behind in the vagina. Very, very, very common. And it's not good. It can create toxic shock syndrome and all kinds of stuff.
Can I ask a question? I'm being serious. This is a serious question.
Yeah.
I heard another, I forgot who it was, but I was rolling my eyes because I thought it was silly. It was a female celebrity, and I really did forget. I'm not just saying that. And she was talking about how women shouldn't have to deal with the embarrassment of their menstrual cycle. And I really, and I was being, I'm being sincere here.
Like never have a cycle?
No, or that there's like a lot of shame around it or anything. And like guys, and I'm a caveman. You know my friends that I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were always like no one, we never laughed at girl. Like
I
it was
think
just
you would,
natural.
You would
you're
probably
like,
make fun of like used tampon the way you would make fun of everything else
I'm
guys
not talking
did.
About like the gross after of like a used tampon. I'm talking about like if a girl.
But I think
even
they,
in like seventh grade, I remember my friend Ashley. She have to go to the restroom.
It's a big secretive thing to them. They have a lot of mixed feelings about it, and they don't want any of our shenanigans.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I feel like I'm the demographic of guys who were not very sensitive to women's stuff.
Yeah,
and I was I never saw.
I would
like
argue
shame
that you,
around.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that they're ultra sensitive, and you'd have to be sort of made aware of what you were doing that bothered.
Okay,
them. And I'm sure you'd want to know, but they got to tell us like everything else.
I many times, you know, growing up because my dad traveled. You know, my dad he traveled so much growing up. Dozens of times went to get either pads or tampons for my mom or sister at the store, and like it just is.
Yeah,
like I'm being sincere.
I get what you're saying, that it's surprising to hear that they feel that way.
Women, like when women say stuff about like on the job stuff or stuff around child rearing, how there's a chauvinistic, and I go, I should be more aware.
This is just surprising.
It was surprising because I was like, I'm a caveman, and I was like,
yep.
I just always saw the menstrual cycle as being something.
You're not alone. Natural. I don't. But guys are we're screwballs and we make fun of everything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And if you're super hypersensitive, some of that crossfire may be problematic.
All right.
Let's hear a voice message.
Good morning, Dr. Julia. My name is Deontay from Oklahoma, and I just have a question today. I really like it when my man sticks more than 1-2 fingers inside my vagina.
I like you through the mouth.
I really want him to try to fist me. So what happens if he gets past the knuckles? Or actually stick his knuckles through the fence?
Okay.
Can they get stuck? Or can it break my like pelvic cavity or anything like that?
I'm
wondering because I really
question,
want him
question
to get it all
one
way
is
in
dumb,
there,
but question two is legitimate.
Boy, right? I like to fist like a turkey. Anyways,
young lady.
I love her.
Lest we forget, that's where babies come out.
Correct.
I mean, like,
that's the fundamental point to take home, which is that babies' heads, it's designed to expand like that. Now, to be fair, during and around delivery, a lot of other hormones and things flood in there that make it more able to do so. But
it's got like anal nitrate inside.
Some women can handle that. Some women can't. Yeah, fist can. You can get some trauma. I mean, that's to be fair. You can get some trauma, but if that's what you like, whatever.
Hey, listen, Drew knows about trauma to the vag. Just talk to Susan. Okay.
Thank you.
I've seen her walking like she went horseback riding after a light night of passion over here. What? Do you understand? They did a revolutionary, groundbreaking surgery on poor Susan Pinsky, 1993, Pasadena, California. They rushed her to Huntington Memorial Hospital. They are the first time in history they sewed a human back together. She was in two pieces. You understand? Like, they put super glue on the chopsticks. You go to the sushi bar, ba-bang! That's what Drew did.
So, super glue on the chopsticks. That's a new image. Thank you for that. Heard you talking about epiglottitis, how it prevents food from entering the lungs. No, I said the epiglottis. Yes, epiglottis, right. Made me think about how sometimes food want to go down the wrong pipe. Makes me cough. Sometimes there's a feeling that not everything came back from the coughing. But the discomforts go away after a few minutes. I'm wondering if it's possible that small bits of food might have gotten into my lungs as a child that are still there. There is such a thing, but not likely. You would get into kind of pneumonias recurrently and things like that. I had a patient with cognitive difficulties that kept getting pneumonias, and we finally did a thoroscope on him, went with a scope down his trachea. We found a bean in there, and it kept obstructing his lungs. You don't get food down there. You get liquid.
How big was that bean?
Tiny. It was like a little lima bean. And you get water down there, and fluids can go down there, and you'll cough and irritate, but it stays in the trachea. It never gets to the lower.
I'm just imagining like bean the person.
Unless you're
down in his throat.
Unless you're drowning and then you take in a ton of water, and actually a near drowning is a very dangerous thing because it causes horrible pneumonias and things. Ugh. Almost like a COVID-like lung syndrome.
Yuck.
One more voicemail.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Barry from Milwaukee.
We talked to Barry.
I have recently just contracted the common cold, and I've been blowing my nose like a mad motherfucker. And I'm just wondering, you've been talking a lot about how you shouldn't, you know, push to pee and you shouldn't push to poop, it should just come naturally. And I was wondering, how hard should I push when I'm blowing all these dirty little boogers out of my nose?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to end up prolapsing my nostrils or anything like that. So piss on me and beat me.
It's just not, it's not, it just irritates the airways to keep pushing like that. And you use a neti pot or something like that. But I never answered the question of the guy who was having nasal congestion during shitting. And like everything else, this your mom's house world is very preoccupied with.
Hey.
Rudy, hang on, let me just finish real quick, buddy. With autonomic function and how, you know, during arousal or during defecation or during orgasm, you can get dilatation of vessels and sneeze and get, you know, snotty nose, that kind of thing. It's just your autonomic nervous system firing off. That's all.
There was a China who used to do that. She blow her nose like crazy, doc. You know, and I think she used to mess with the scante.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But she kept blowing them so hard because she would get all pinche congested, and then her fucking nose came off, like shot like a dart, you know? And then we just called that bitch Donut because her face was like just a hole there.
That's something called Wegener's granulomatosis.
You're telling me, dog. Yeah.
So what I saw it as. In your world.
And me and my homie Spatula, me and my vato was Spatula, Beetlejuice. Parameters.
Crickets? And the cricket in there?
No, he was already locked up by then. And And the vato, who else was there that one time? Oh, you know that homie from Van Nuys, little Voldemort.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and then
and Grasshopper.
Okay, so we were all trying to do like horseshoes, but pedal with our pito in little hole.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And then she was like getting all congested; she couldn't see. And she was like that hyena trying to catch the train at fucking Hogwarts, where she just went right into the wall because it was she couldn't see nothing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was kind of
horrible
crazy,
or dog. Hilarious.
We just listen, dog. If you having problems with your nose, dog,
yeah,
a little Vicks VapoRub.
No,
underneath.
I'm not so on the Vicks.
Vicks VapoRub. My grandma cures everything, dog.
Your grandma? She's still with us?
Fuck yeah, dog.
Oh, my God. I thought you killed her a long time ago.
My grandma's cured everything with a mixture of cilantro puree and Vicks VapoRub, dog.
And avocado, right?
Sometimes.
And are you still smoking weed and blow it in her face?
Fuck yeah, dog.
Helps
she
her.
She asked me to.
She asked you to now.
She'll be watching her telenovelas.
I thought she wasn't talking. She started talking again.
It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Where you like,
yeah.
She lives with us, but... Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, definitely sometimes my friends and I will be smoking weed, like watching the Dodgers or something. And they'll be like, hey, Rudy, your grandma's dead. I remember my homie Manchego. He was like, hey, Rudy, your grandma's dead. I was like, fuck, dog, what are we going to do? It's only the seventh inning. But then, like, 3 minutes later, she's like, and we're like, oh, fuck, you know, and your grandma's a zombie. And I'm like, I know, though.
It's good. It's dope. Well, Rudy, good to see you again. Mike, great to see you, too. Thank you for spending a little time with us. We appreciate it. It's always fantastic to have you here. We appreciate it very, very, very much.
Sure. And, yeah, it's been my pleasure.
And that we could go for hours. Gentlemen, booth boys, anything for Mike before I let him go?
Incredible.
Of course. He's got a million where that came from. So
I am local.
He's local. I'll bring him back. If you love Mike and you want him back, let us know on the YouTube. Anywhere else they should send stuff, maybe to drfdark@gmail.com. Send your comments there. And emails at 818-253-1693. Mike, it is Mikey Likes You. That's the podcast.
Likes You podcast, yes. Available on all formats.
And look for, I will just say, a major podcast coming out with a major... I want to give more information.
Major fitness and also a major entertainment
brand that
backing.
Is one syllable word that you all know. And it's, right? Isn't it from them?
Let's see. Bukkake.
Okay,
no, that's three.
No. Okay, that's three. All right. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.